Good morning. Hey, are you glad you're here? Who said I'm not sure? Hey, all right, very good. Good morning again. God is good. He's on the throne. He's not fazed by the state of your bank balance, the Brexit negotiations, or anything else. He's been around a long time. Anybody work that one out? Yeah, even longer than Chris. There we go. You're right. God, you're good. Isn't he good? Sometimes, you know, when you're just not quite sure where to start, and then you see Joe. Then you really panic. No. No. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it? Has it? Yeah, it's been an interesting week. First off, I just want to thank you for, you know, we've had a number of feedbacks from the letter we put out about the change in leadership and you know, what's happened with us and our family and the demands that are on us. And I really want to thank those of you that have replied. And it's just been good, actually. It's been really good. So I really, really bless you and appreciate that. But it is a strange, there's a strange part of it, and there's an adjustment that we have to make. For those of you who haven't seen the letter, that'll all make sense to you, but once you've read it. But there's a, you know, we're in this kind of time of adjustment, and and it is strange. Change is always strange, isn't it? It's you know, I love Dennis DeGrasse's statement: "I like change when it's happening to you." Yeah, I like settled. I like to know where I'm at in the continuum, but. The great thing is that we're all part of the great cloud of witnesses, aren't we? That talks about in Hebrews, and I thank God that He is eternal. He's outside of time. That our faith is rooted in eternity, in the unseen realm, and not in the day to day. Because the day to day goes up and down, round and about, in and out, and you're not always sure about it. But with Him, the Rock of Ages, who has been there he always was, since the beginning. He was there since before the beginning. I'm not sure if that works on how you perceive eternity and time, but we're absolutely safe and secure in His presence. Amen? And keeping tethered there is just such a big deal. I've just been. Who likes stories? Okay. Would you indulge me for a moment while I read this to you, director? Sorry, you've had this before, and one or two others have as well. But Drummond's Bar in a small Texas town named Mount Vernon began construction on an extension to their building to increase their business. The local Baptist church started a campaign to block the bar from opening with petitions and prayers. Work progressed right up until the week before the opening when lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. The church folks were rather smug in their outlook after that, until the bar owner sued the church on the grounds that the church was ultimately responsible for the demise of his building, either through direct or indirect means. The church vehemently denied all responsibility or any connection to the building's demise in its reply to the court. As the case made its way into court, the judge looked over the case and commented, "I don't know how I'm going to decide this, but it appears from the paperwork that we have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church congregation that does not." So, I just like that stuff. So, all right, there we go. It was kind of the sort of the strongest link that I could find to what Shine brought to us a great exhortation to pray 2 or 3 weeks ago, and just terrific word, wasn't it? And then Keith really brought us something that focused us again onto our key objectives as a church. Who can remember what they are? To worship God. Come on. Oh my goodness me. To be a Christian family, yeah. To make disciples and to spread the Father's love. Amen. Those are our four key objectives. And he brought us a word that really began to focus us again onto those things and just stirred in us hunger for where we sit in those things. Because some of us will be more passionate about outreach, others more about family and so on. But we should all be absolutely passionate about our worship life. And worship and prayer just go together. And then Ed last week brought us this terrific word, didn't he, about the God of miracles and how miracles are actually born out of the relationship that we have with God. Yeah? And that gift of the Spirit is actually called what? Is it the gift of miracles? No. It's the called the working of miracles, and it flows out of our relationship with Him, and so our worship life, our prayer life, our willingness to listen to the Holy Spirit and to focus on His voice throughout our lives are key ingredients of the release of miracles in our lives. So. And it did just stir. Who's read Mahesh Chavda? Anybody know Mahesh Chavda? Heard of his ministry? He wrote a book many years ago called Only Love Can Make a Miracle. Yeah? And this is a guy who's raised the dead, who's seen just phenomenal things happen. So, the thing for me is that what it's really stirred in me, because God spoke to me in across one of those weekends out of Mark 10, and the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, who wanted. You know, he's just frustrated. He didn't have the breakthrough that he wanted. And Jesus said to him, he said, well, the one thing that you lack is that you prize money and your wealth more than you do me. So what you need to do is go away, sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. And he went away sad, didn't he? Because he was wealthy and for him it was a too high a price to pay. And for some of us, if God said, well, sell all that you have, it wouldn't be such a big deal. For the others of us, it would be a big deal. And the issue is not that God doesn't want us to have money. He does, because money, who knows, it's a blessing. I mean, you know, when you're miserable, at least you can go shopping. You know, I mean, it's... you can go down to Quirky Cafe and get the best latte in town. There you go. Come on, and some great fellowship actually. So, but it's the one thing, and so the Holy Spirit is just talking to me about the one thing that we need to lay down. What is the one thing? It may not be money for you. It may be an opinion. It may be a view that you have. It may be a judgment that you've made. It may be, it could be a thousand and one things. But for everybody, there's that one thing. And we need to be able to make those choices on a consistent basis. And it just triggered again for me the pursuit of the one thing. And you know David in Psalm 27, he says, one thing that I ask, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. In verse 8, it says, my heart says of you, seek his face, your face I will seek. Verse 10, though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He had such a view of God that no matter, you know, to be forsaken by your parents, one of the most tragic events of life. But even if that happens, God will be a mum and a dad to me. He will be there for me. He will, and his pursuit of the one thing, yeah, the one thing. It was so strong that he was able to say these things. When his heart saying to him, "Come on, seek the face of the Lord." There's this immediate response: "Your face I will seek." Yeah, he will do that. It's not. There's no lag between. Well, shall I turn TV off? Shall I make a cup of tea? Shall I do the washing up? Shall I? No, it's in the moment, and he goes for it. And then there's encounter with this. And verse 13, he says, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." For those of you that are struggling, just finding life gets on top of you, his goodness is not reserved for then. It's for today. All right? There's the breakthroughs, the things that we're looking for are not just for then, they're for today. And that pursuit of the one thing is such a big deal to me, and the pursuit of his presence, that sense of face-to-face with Jesus, knowing that Jesus is the way to the Father, that the Father isn't angry with us because of our histories or even our todays, all right? But actually what's full in his heart is love, that he's just wanted to overflow into us. It's such a big deal. One of my life passages is, or it's my primary life passage, is in Psalm 16. And again, it's David. And in verse 2, he says, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." Everything that is good in my life is ultimately from you. Right? Chris, just really great. You made the point that all sickness and illness, ultimately, is not from God. That's from the other fella. The only thing he really knows about us is the size of our feet. Amen. Yeah. But what's in the heart of God is always goodness. So he says to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Everything that is good is in him." Verse 5, "You alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure." God alone, you are my portion and my cup, my sustenance, everything. You make my lot secure. Verse 7, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me even at night." When you get to my age, that's an increasing reality. And especially with 4 grandchildren around you all the time, there just isn't time in the day. So much of my communion with God is at night. And he counsels me, he talks to me at night. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I'm focused in that same place. Verse 8, "I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." So it's the pursuit of the one thing, the person, the presence, developing a yielded heart to God that is so important to me. Can I ask you, where do you spend your financial, emotional, and chronological energy? That just means your time. I couldn't think of another word to that flowed in the sentence. So, but where do you spend it? Where do you give it? It'll tell you a lot about what you're really pursuing in life. All right? Now, I'm not saying if you're college, you shouldn't be spending 30, 40 hours a week studying. I'm not suggesting that. Hear what I'm really saying. But what do you really invest your heart into? Because he's investing into you, okay? Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure in a field. And when the guy found it, what did he do? He went out, he sold everything that he had. He ditched everything else to buy the field. Luke chapter 8, in the parable of the sower. Do you remember? The sower went out, he sowed seed into four areas. I mean, he wasn't looking for four areas. He just sowed it, but these are the four realities. Some landed on the path. That's the hard soil. It's been trodden down, compacted, and it's hard on the surface. Do you know what we do? I'm a farmer. Do you know what we do with soil like that? We get a cultivator, a heavy cultivator, or a subsoiler, and we put that behind a big tractor, stick it in the ground, and it just rips it through, and it breaks that hardened surface. And it's like a lot of power goes into that. Yeah, you need plenty of horsepower in your tractor to really rip through that really hardened, compacted soil. But do you know what the Holy Spirit does? He comes like rain. Yeah, and if you get a deluge, it just washes off the surface. But when it's a small amount, and you think, well, that's not enough, it's insignificant, but it begins to just loosen, soften the top of the surface. And then you know, next day some more, next day some more, next day some more. And eventually it softens right through and softens the soil. And actually, you know, we want to be good soil, but hardened soil that's been trodden down, the seed that God wants to sow into your heart and into your life can't embed in the soil, sits on the surface, and the enemy comes and snatches it away. The rocky places, soil that is, it's thin soil, rocks sticking through, the seed sets into that soil and will begin to grow, but because it's thin and shallow, it can't develop a root and it doesn't last. How many times have we seen people who begin a journey with God and don't persist? Okay, because there is this rockiness and shallowness, you know, it needs to become depth. Then you have the thorny place where there's plenty of soil, but there's plenty else going on as well. And the thorns, what are the thorns? Cares of the world. Do you know what that's what the Greek actually says there? It's a divided mind. Okay. The thorns are, and the weeds are what? The product of another seed. Not the word of God, but another seed. And our problem often is that we're trying to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying and also thinking that we need to be listening to these other voices. And we mustn't do that, because that will always tear us apart. We will be double-minded. What does Scripture say about the person who's double-minded? Yeah, you get nothing. It doesn't work. So you have to be single-minded. Do you ever have this thought? Well, if I'm not kind of listening to all this, then maybe I'm unbalanced. Well, I'm not sure what balance there is between listening to the enemy on one side and the Holy Spirit on the other. That's not what balance is for me. So the thorn is the product of another seed. That seed comes from somewhere. If it's not God, there's only one other option, and you don't want that. Riches, which is also part of what Jesus was saying in the thorny place, riches are a blessing, but you've got to keep it in the right place. Pleasures created by God, but pursuing them for their own sake will lead to destruction. And finally, you have the good soil. Good hearts, noble hearts. They retain and by perseverance produce a crop. By what? Perseverance. What does that mean? Keep going. So when you're tempted to give up, you keep going. You don't give up. I can't remember the guy's name now, but we had an Australian gentleman who came and visited us a number of times, and he brought us a prophetic word, and in it was the statement, "You only lose if you give up." Yeah. Nigel confessed to walking with God for more years than he cares to remember. All right. But hey, here's for another 20, 30. Yeah. You up for that? All right. Anybody else up for that? Another 20, 30 years. Look at some of the old timers around who've just been walking with God all their lives, and come on, they are amazing, aren't they? Yeah, for some of you younger ones, and that's anybody under the age of 60, have a talk with Frank and Jer and Wendy and Chris and Anne and William and Adrienne and Dave. and Richard and Zilla and Pam and Nigel. You must be 60 now. There you go. All right. So have I missed anybody else out who's over 60? Oh, John, you must be. Yeah, knocking on. Another John and Sue. Yeah, there you go. That's right. Yeah, okay. And Moya. And all right. Yeah, I'm not quite 59. That's why I said 60. So I've got a couple of weeks and I'm 59. But I know it's creeping up on me. Yeah, 24 hours every day. So, but honestly, you know, we've been through seasons. We've had ups, we've had downs, we've had challenges. We've got unfocused. We've learned how to focus, how to make choices. We've learned how to hear the voice of the Lord. There's just so many things that we've gained. When you look back, you guys, 30, 40 years. Would you want to go back to then? I wouldn't. I mean, I thank God for the good stuff back then, but there is revelation now that was not generally available. Yeah. Something happened 23 years ago when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Canada that so affected us. Something got released. There's just so much. And, right from the time I first gave my life to Christ and had this encounter with God that set a standard for me that I wanted to pursue the presence, the person. It's not a philosophy, it's not a religion, it's a relationship with the God who created heaven and earth and created me and had lost me to sin and was... and had done everything necessary to bring me back. Not just to sit on a bench somewhere as a trophy, but because he had purpose and destiny and I needed to be single-minded and focused about that. And, you know, for me, my role is going to change in the changes that we're making, but I'm still going because I'm here to serve. He laid his life down for me, and now it's my pleasure to lay my life down for him. And my role may be different going forwards, but the passion of my heart for his presence and his purpose to see the kingdom of God come in this town remains undimmed. Amen. And so I'm only interested in his voice. And there we go. Let's just wrap this one up. So I want to just come back to Psalm 16. Because this is my psalm. But I want to give it away this morning. This is my primary life passage. If you don't have a life passage, then I want to just encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Okay? But Psalm 16 is mine, but I'm going to be generous this morning and share it with you. 1980, it was sometime March, April 1980, I was sat in a meeting, not in Taunton, and these two verses, 5 and 6, were read out as a prophetic word. And it was the first time that the word of God had physically affected me as I sat there. And I didn't, you know, there was a context to it in terms of where I was at and choices that I was needing to make. But these are the words: Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I was at the place I was at the time was facing a choice. Was I going to make compromises in the way in which I walk with God? That's what it really came down to, because there was a demand on me for another purpose. I'm 4 years as a Christian at that point. I mean, I thought I knew it all. but I knew that I was going to need to make some difficult, profound choices. A few months before, Steve Hepton had prophesied over me about decisions that I would need to make that would be very difficult, but not to worry about that, but simply to seek to follow God and honor him in all the choices and decisions that I made. And then he said things would happen in my life that would be difficult to understand and explain, but to know that the hand of God was on me throughout, and finally there would be tremendous blessing in my life. Three parts to that prophetic word, and then these two verses from Psalm 16. And the choice was this: did I want to really walk with God without any restrictions put on, or did I want to take an inheritance that would put conditions on how I walk with God? And for me, it was never, you know, I mean, the inheritance was then probably $250,000. That was what was available to me, and I turned it down. It was never, you know, there was a difficult part of it because there are relationships involved and so on, but that was what was difficult. It wasn't the size of the inheritance that was difficult. But I knew that if I embraced that, then it would diminish this. And I can't listen to that voice. I have to listen to this voice. And so the single-mindedness, you know, for those of us, you know, how many of us can remember so many people who started aren't walking with us today? That's, for me, that's a tragedy. All right, there, but for the grace of God, go I. But I just want to be single-minded, and I want to come back to these verses as I do time and time again. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup, and you make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. And you know, I don't know where you're all at today. I know some of your stories, but if you want to be able to say yes to God in this abandoned way without putting conditions on it, and you want to find the grace to make the choices that you need to make so that your walk with Him is center, so that He is truly on the throne of your life, I want to, you know, when we pray, I want to invite you just to come and let the ministry team pray for you. I'd like to lay hands on you as well and impart a grace that I've carried for many years. So let's stand together. Yeah, so Holy Spirit, we love you. Come on, just fix your gaze upon Him. We love you. We love your presence. We love your goodness. Just commune with Him. Commune with Him. Come on. Commune with Him. Yes, Lord. God, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Lord, we thank you for your grace that is made available to us, Lord, in everything. And Father, I want to thank you for the lives of those who've gone before us that have testified to your goodness and testified to the ability to choose the one thing. And God, we want to just continue to choose you today, Lord, to choose you for our lives. So Lord, we choose to embrace your lordship in everything, in every aspect of our lives. And Lord, wherever there are voices that we need to close our ears to, Father, I pray for that grace of repentance upon us. It's a gift that we receive, the ability to say no. When I first became aware of my own sinfulness, it came with this ability to choose, to repent, to turn away from. Repentance is a gift that we receive, as well as being a choice that we make. So, Lord, we choose to turn away from those voices. From those voices. And, Lord, we want to listen to one voice and say yes to you. So, God, we bless you. God, we bless you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ministry team, if you would come, that would be really good.